This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Come get some.
Beware, I live. IGN GameScoop.
Could you turn me down even more? Because I don't want to hear that too loudly.
You don't want it whispered
Alex,
in your ear?
Alex, the intern, please repeat the phrase you just said.
I would drink a bucket of semen for $1 billion.
So your mom's not listening to this episode.
Hopefully, no. Hopefully not.
What's the matter, Hillary?
Hillary's not happy.
It's still loud.
Now you're all gone?
I'm three.
Oh, okay, there you go. I'm adjusting. Now you're turning it up.
I'm adjusting to the loudness. I don't mind.
Okay.
Great. Yeah. We had a good start, and then we got a little drilled. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. With me this week is Hillary Goldstein.
Hey, everybody. I would do a whole lot of things for $1 billion. Just letting you know. If anybody has $1 billion out there,
I don't think you guys are...
Float some ideas.
...are keeping in mind how big a bucket is. Like, a bucket...
Are we talking like I'm picturing...
You're making like the size of like a bucket that like a circus performer dives into from a high dive.
I mean, no, but really I'm thinking about like a
bucket of chicken.
Or like a bucket of beer. That's what I'm picturing is like the steel bucket of beer.
Yes.
Yes.
For
$1 billion.
$1 billion.
I don't understand in what world so this is like a 2-3 day thing? You're not just going to sit there and chug a bucket of anything. A bucket of anything. You're not going to sit down and drink
this
a bucket.
This is so bad. I can't believe we started the podcast way.
Can I mix it with something?
No.
No. It's a lot of liquid.
So yeah, it's straight.
Straight.
How many? Still, it's $1 billion.
Uncut semen.
I can't put it in a white Russian.
I'm just going to say right now, willpower for $1 billion. This is the thing. I would have to have $1 billion out in front of me. Like, I couldn't have somebody be like, oh, I'm going to have a check for it. Like, I would need it, like, laid out.
Like on the World Series of Poker.
Yeah, so that, like, every time I'm going, oh, there's no way I could drink any more of this, I could just look over and see this huge pile of cash and be like, yeah, I can.
How many ounces are you visualizing?
It doesn't matter. That's the thing,
it
right?
It totally matters.
No, it doesn't.
You're telling me you're going to sit there for 12 hours, all you're doing is drinking
12
semen?
Hours?
Well, how much? I mean,
it doesn't matter. It's $1 billion.
What do you think? First off, it's going to pour out like maple syrup. Pour out?
When
I'm picturing I have a cup and I'm dipping it in.
Okay, whatever.
This is the worst.
Imagine drinking.
This is the worst GameScoop opening ever.
You're drinking maple syrup for 12 hours.
It's $1 billion.
I'm not saying the money isn't enticing. I'm just saying I don't think it's humanly possible.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not even humanly possible.
Oh, it's definitely possible. I mean, I can eat 50 eggs.
Okay, yes. But how long is it going to take you to do this? Are you watching football? Are you eating chicken wings?
To continue this conversation in the route that I want to go, we could never publish this GameScoop.
Yeah.
In fact, so, we probably can't.
Let's try this again. Let's try this again.
This has been gold. You wanted a good show, and you're getting it.
I think you should just save this and put this on the next Knockin' Boots.
This has been good.
We'll see what we do with this. Try this again. Let's start over again. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I am your host, Damon Hatfield. With me this week is Hillary Goldstein.
And the question of the day is, what would you do for $1 billion? What's your limit?
It's true.
There's no limit. That's what I was saying.
I want to keep. Let me get through with the introductions. Okay. Greg Miller is also here.
Yeah. I had a really good question to ask at the beginning of the show, but this one's been much better. So we'll get to mine later.
And joining us for his second appearance is Alex the Intern.
Finally.
Yeah.
Ever?
GTFO.
This is Alex's last day as an intern here at IGN. So we brought him back on the podcast again to say farewell. We're also going to take him out tonight to get Super Panda.
We're getting Panda.
Taking him out on the town.
Did you ever pick someone else to come for dinner tonight?
No.
All right. Hillary, you want to go with pizza with us tonight?
Sure.
It's Pachis. Yes. All right. Best Chicago style pizza in San Francisco.
It's the second best Chicago style pizza in San Francisco.
Ooh. Wait, where are we going?
Pachis.
Okay, and where do you think, Damon?
Little Star is the best.
Little Star is very good.
Little Star is very good. I've never had Pachis, but Little Star is very good.
For me personally, growing up in the Chicagoland area,
we would know.
This is the authentic Chicago style pizza. Little Star uses a cornmeal crust, which is delicious and like Lou Malnati's. But I was always a Giordano's kid.
You really can't go wrong with either of these pizza places.
100%.
No. Anyway.
Back to semen.
As much as I would like to have $1 billion, I just know that I wouldn't be able to do it.
I just can't imagine. Like, your stomach's going to be so grotesquely bulging with any kind of fluid. Bucket!
But imagine, my bank account is going to be bulging.
See, here's what I would try for sure, because I want $1 billion. Yeah, but I'm saying it's going to take me a day, maybe more, of me sitting there going,
I don't know.
Now I gotta do some more.
I don't think you understand what a bucket looks like. I mean, you just seem to make it sound like it's something.
Or talking, maybe I don't. You're saying a bucket like my beers come in tonight at any Rickenbacker's. Yeah. Filled to the brim.
How long do you think it would take you?
This isn't something you can chug.
You don't know that. You don't know me.
Right. David, get me a bucket.
Well, here's my question. How many men would it take to fill a bucket?
Well, I guess this is my question. Is it chilled? Is it warm? Like, does it make a difference?
It's room temperature.
Okay.
I feel like
chilling it would make it even harder to drink.
It would be, yeah. Well, unless it becomes like Jello. I don't know. I mean, I've never chilled.
And then you can just use a spoon? Or
I would rather drink it warm than
but
use a spoon.
But I guess that is a good question. It's like, where are you finding all these donors? But then I thought, wait, if you just go to any college, and you're like, here's your frat initiation, here's this bucket, fill it. I mean,
that's how you want to do this.
why is this GameScoop still being recorded?
We haven't done anything bad yet.
In other news.
Oh, my God, yes.
In other news, the Tokyo Game Show is going on right now as we speak. We have men and...
Speaking of girls and buckets.
And woman on the show floor right now, bringing you all the updates. What do you guys think about TGS this year?
I'm glad I'm not there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
Because
we had such a terrible time in Tokyo last year.
But Greg, you have a fear of Godzilla.
True. So. Racist.
Totally rational fear.
No, it's they seem like they've had trouble. The Sony conference, there was no translator. Geddes had to stand the whole time. I wouldn't have been happy with that.
Mm.
That's why I would be upset.
So he was at the show.
Yeah.
The conference.
Yeah. There's been a lot of cool announcements out of it, I think, honestly.
Yep.
Me and Alex are both happy and sad over Valkyria Chronicles 3.
I'm more happy that
it's coming out. Sad it's only on PSP.
Yeah.
I'm super pumped for the new Yakuza. Yakuza versus zombies.
Explain this to me. So this is not Yakuza 4.
Correct. Yakuza 4 is already out in Japan, and it's about to come out in America next year. Early next year.
But now there's another Yakuza game.
And there's one before that.
Now,
see,
usually if this were like Call of Duty, there would just be like a downloadable zombie mode.
Yeah.
But this is a whole new game?
Yeah, this is a game all to its own. Yakuza of the End. Yakuza of the End is what it's called. And yeah, there's a zombie outbreak, and you got to go fight.
Really weird.
So is it going to be built like the other Yakuza games? Like, will there be like the?
It's hard to say at this point because all they've really shown is the trailer. Brudvig and Steimer have video impressions up right now, which I thought were really good. Brudvig took away from what he saw. He said it looks like it's going to be 4-player co-op. But usually in the Yakuza games, at least after 4, they've been doing it where there's 4 people you play as individually. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if it's crossing stories or if it would be co-op, because that'd be a change for the series. I'm expecting it just to be single player, but you're over there watching Japanese videos and text. You don't know what the hell's happening. It looks like it's the same kind of setup. It's the same characters you know from the franchise you've been following. Kaz is in it and a whole bunch of other guys and running around.
It would be like if they released another Grand Theft Auto 4 with zombies. like to retail.
Well, here's the thing that I'm very excited about.
Or you mean
it,
like if they released Red Dead Redemption with zombies?
Sure.
Which they're doing,
but that's
October.
DLC.
But that's DLC. That's what I'm talking about. Like a new game to retail with that, taking a game that takes place in a realistic in our world, and then throwing in this supernatural element,
which I like a lot. Yeah? And here's why: because I think that
you're a comic book guy.
Sure, that, and I'm a Yakuza fan, and I'm a zombie fan. But I mean, the reason I like it is because I think the series has been getting stale. I mean, Jim Riley had played all the other Yakuza games,
yeah.
And so when 3 came out, and I was like, it's great. He watched me play. He's like, I already played this game, and he walked away. This is something different. This is something.
He's
new.
Also a curmudgeon.
And also, I had an idea in high school for a trilogy of movies I wanted to make, and the first two were just normal comedies, and then the third one was a zombie movie. So there you go. It's a good idea. You set up these characters, then you drop them into something weird.
Huh. Okay.
Should I tell my awesome horror movie dream?
Can yes. I ask my question yet?
Well, which one of you wants to go first?
You can go.
No, you can go first.
All right. Do you shave your? Do you cut your armpit hair?
What?
Do you trim your armpit hair?
Not zero. No. Not at all.
Anybody? No.
Never touch
it.
No. Damon? Never.
No.
Really?
I do manscaping, but not in my pits.
Okay. I did today. I decided it was time.
Really?
Yeah,
Let me see.
I didn't shave.
Let me see how they
just
look.
Trimmed it.
They do look pretty nice.
Thank you.
Do I need to cut mine? Is mine too much?
No, see, mine was too much. I was brushing my teeth the other day, and I had a plume.
You're
like,
brushing your teeth wrong if you're...
I'm brushing my teeth, and I look in the mirror, and I can see armpit hair just poking around the corners of my... Like, and not poking, I mean like a plume of hair. Like, this is gross. I need to trim this. So I trimmed it, and I think I like how it looks.
Huh.
And I just wondered if anybody else does this. No, I watched the wrestling. They cut their hair.
Yeah.
And I didn't shave it again. I didn't go. Girl,
you just use scissors and to trim it down.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I don't think I.
Just one opinion. GameScoop fans, please write in. GameScoop.
Yeah, let us know if any of you ever trimmed your armpit hair. And what was this dream you had, Hill?
All right, so I had a dream where I wasn't in the dream. I just dreamed of a horror movie trailer, and I think that it could be my ticket out of IGN. This horror movie.
finally,
my ticket out. So it was one of those. It was like a trailer for that old horror story where it's like the girl's getting all these strange calls in her house, and she calls the operator, and the operator finally is like, the calls are coming from inside the house, right? So it's like set up just like that, except that the girl's talking to the operator, and the operator's like, the call's coming from the house, and the girl goes, the call's coming from inside the house, and the operator goes, no, the call is coming from the house. And then it pulls out, and you see the house, and like the two windows light up like its eyes, and then the movie title is House Call, the movie. and then the girl screams, and like blood splatters on the window.
So you dreamed this movie trailer?
I dreamed this trailer, yeah.
Wow.
House Call, the movie.
I wish I dreamed movie trailers. That'd be great.
I dreamed a prank this week that I wish I had pulled in
really?
College, but it didn't. Mm. It was because it wasn't me doing it. I was just watching it, but it was a giant lecture hall and somebody's lecturing up front. And then in the very back row, a kid stands up dressed in a Marty McFly cosplay. And he holds he has a phone. He has a phone he holds to his head, like from the beginning of Back to the Future. He goes, "What? Wait a minute, Doc! You're telling me it's..." He's screaming this in the class, phone to his head. "It's 8:05. I'm late." And then he hits a boombox that has power of love, and he just runs around the room twice. And
I think the only problem with that dream is that it really shows your age, because I'm pretty sure if you did that in high school, everybody would be like, "What the hell is this guy doing?"
Wait, no,
they would know
no.
Back to the Future.
No.
Well, it's about to be a major motion video game.
High
so
school
we'll see.
Kids.
He said college.
I did say college. Thanks for listening.
And I have a Marty McFly cosplay costume.
Alex knows.
I do.
Alex knows Back to the Future, and he has he has some misconceptions about what is
the best
film.
3 is better than 2.
3 is not better than 2. You are crazy.
You agree?
3 is a bad movie almost.
What? 2 is a bad movie.
No, 2 is a bad movie.
No.
I agreed.
There's
only
one good Back to the Future.
Yes. That's
disagreed. Disagreed.
Wait. Let's put it this way. 2 and 3 were both not very good movies, but 3 is still better than 2 because 2 is terrible.
See, I
like... But 1 is amazing.
2 is the future.
1 remains by far the best. And actually... I feel like if you left the mystery of the end where he just goes where we're going, we don't need roads, and they took off,
that would
have
been
so cool.
And they
never made it,
yeah.
And you just spent your life wondering, imagining what it could be, it would be way better than what they did with the two movies.
That's true.
Yeah. 2 is fine. 2 is a fine movie. 3 is so bad.
No, I think 3 is actually okay. I like 3.
Oh, that was Clayton Ravine, Doc. Yeah, no crap. Does no one think we weren't around for this? We shouldn't stop it, you jackasses. And then a giant, stupid CG train at the end. Go to hell.
I like it.
Going back to Back of the Future, though, in the first one, Greg, in order to sort of save yourself from being erased from time, would you make out with your mother?
No.
Okay.
It's So you would
not to mention
you
his
would
life,
die.
His life was terrible. Yeah, the McFly life was horrible before he set everything right. So yeah. Whatever. See you later. Erase my deadbeat brother and fat sister. I don't care.
I would be really frustrated if I went back in time and my dad was like the dad from Back to the Future. Yeah. Where it's like you find out your dad is just completely worthless and is just like yeah, no, he's worse. No. He's even more hopeless than poor Jim Riley. I'd imagine that's how I imagine Jim Riley's dad being, though.
Jim Riley's dad, I bet, is a badass. He's hard.
Really? Yeah. Like a merchant marine?
Yeah. He just never talked or hugged Jim, and that's why he's all socially awkward and doesn't know how to interact with human beings.
My sister's husband looks exactly like the dad from Back to the Future. Okay. He has the same haircut, and one of the first times,
Who's crazy?
Yes.
The first time that I met him, he knew I was a big Back to the Future fan, and we were sitting eating breakfast together. I swear, this is exactly...
You met Crispin Glover?
No, this is my sister's husband.
Okay.
And so we're sitting next to each other eating breakfast. He's eating cereal. I'm just standing there, or sitting there, and he's eating the cereal. And
you're
just
sizing him up. You'd be like, so...
You think I'm good enough for my sister? Yeah.
But he just is eating a cereal. I'm looking at him, and he just goes, what? Like, exactly like...
It took me a second. Sorry. Did he do it on purpose?
Yeah, he did it on purpose. Reference? Yeah.
Okay.
Really? When he proposed to your sister, did he go, you are my density?
Yeah, he did.
Okay. That's my favorite line from Back to the Future.
I got to watch 2 again. I don't know why everybody hates on 2.
I'm going to watch all 3 again.
Let's do it. They're out coming to Blu-ray soon.
Okay.
I think they're already out on Blu-ray.
Oh, man, I'm poor.
Let's get back to the TGS.
Games.
Game Scoop. It's not Back to the Future Scoop or Semen Scoop. So.
Oh, please do a spin-off. New name for Naka Boots.
They're rebooting that Devil May Cry series.
And I'm looking forward to it.
I am too. I don't know why people are so upset about this. So Dante looks different. So what? Get over it, right?
I hated Devil May Cry 4, so...
Yeah,
it's one of those things. I thought it was 4 games that ran their course. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people are trying to compare this to Infamous. It is not the same. Because Infamous had 1 game, then they tried to change everything a year later. This is... How long have you known Dante?
There's been 4 Devil May Cry.
Also, Devil May Cry series is better than Infamous.
Nah, I knew you were going for that.
What? It's true. Except for 2. I mean, 2, like, is the aberration, since it wasn't really a Devil May Cry game when it was started.
So. Yeah.
But, I mean, I liked 3, and then I really couldn't get into 4 at all. Like, I stopped playing after, like, 2 hours.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I like the new look. I like the trailer that they put out.
It
looks really cool.
It seems cool. Yeah, it seems like it's going to have a neat
story. I don't like the name, though. Like, capital D, M, capital C. I'm like, what is that supposed to mean? Yeah, that's weird. They should just call it Devil May Cry again.
Yeah. Again. Devil May Cry again.
Clement says it's clearly an origin story. He can tell from the trailers. I'm not a hardcore Devil May Cry fan. Did you guys get that? You guys get this is still the Dante we know, just he looks different. That seems to be how Clements is interpreting it.
Really? I saw it as like that's fresh, what I thought.
I mean, I don't know much about Dante, so maybe it could be possible. But
yeah.
Clements is a big Devil May Cry fan in the office. Yeah. He's also running on like an hour of sleep though, so
that's true.
Seeing all kinds of crazy stuff over there, man.
Hillary, what do you think about these all these interesting hardcore Kinect games that were announced?
Hardcore.
It's hard to say until you see. Like, Steel Battalion is the one that sounds the most interesting because that's a game that came out with like a which we have right in the
we have Steel Battalion controller right here.
Yeah,
in the
it's like a $200 controller, so nobody bought it, and they only made I think like 200,000 copies of the game because it was like a pet project from somebody who just wanted to do something cool.
Yeah.
So they knew it was never going to be able to be a huge success. So it's kind of interesting to think of it like making it with Kinect, but they didn't show how the game's played. They just showed a trailer. So until you see that, I mean, am I going to be holding like the thumb, you know, the sticks in the
air? Pretending to hold them?
Like, this is the one time where Microsoft has not like kind of adopted 3D, but that's the only way I can see making this game cool, is that if you had 3D glasses on so that you could project the control panels outside the TV and you could actually press buttons, but we already know that the Kinect isn't sensitive enough to recognize fingers. Mm. So again, like, I don't know, you're going to be like just slapping stuff. Like, I don't know. I mean, to me, like...
It's going to be like that Ricochet game.
I'd say I'm very cautious about this because I'd say there's probably a reason why they didn't show anybody playing it, right? That's all I'm saying. Like, they didn't show anybody how it's played. There might be a reason for that. But just without a controller at all, I don't know. Is that going to be cool?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, cheaper.
The screenshots look pretty. I can say that.
Yeah. And then what? There's the one that looks like a Panzer Dragoon ripoff.
Project Draco, is that the one?
Yeah.
Dragons and Vikings.
That could be okay. And then the Haunt one, Haunt. I mean, that to me honestly starts to sound like you're going back into dumb Wii game territory. It's like, you got a flashlight and you move it around. I'm like, really?
Yeah, so this is a first-person horror game. You're exploring a mansion and you've got a flashlight, basically. That's all we know about that game.
I don't know. None of those really made me go, oh, yes, this is the power of Kinect. You know, I don't know.
What is the power of Kinect?
Yeah, nobody knows.
Suda 51.
It's nice to know that they're making them. Honestly, yeah. Still, Dance Central and Child of Eden are the only two Kinect games that have me interested.
Is there a release date on Child of Eden?
Child of Eden, we found out, is not going to be available at launch. It's coming next year.
Okay.
Yeah. I think by like spring or whatever.
Suda 51 is making a Kinect game called Codename D. He describes it as hardcore, punky, and casual.
Oh!
Hardcore, punky, and casual?
And it's being made for the hardcore gamer. So try and figure that out.
What does that mean?
I don't know. All they did is show a live-action trailer that just shows men dancing around a carnival wearing animal masks. So that will be a lot of fun.
Oh, I'm man. Sure. That's going to be awesome.
And some of these are downloadable. So like Xbox Live Arcade, Kinect games. Yeah.
That's cool.
But the most...
Who knows if Kinect will be around by that point?
Whoa! Wait, what's that? APB? Or maybe it'll go that
way. Oh, my God. I cannot believe that. That is the most... Like, you know, so we've been around the block in the video game industry. We can get to a little... I don't know. We've seen a lot. That's one of the craziest things I've ever seen happen.
Bring kids up to speed if they don't know.
APB, an open world game released at the end of June. It's a subscription-based MMO. People buy the game, you know, and then they play it.
It was free to play.
It's subscription-based.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Not three months after launch, shut down. It's over. Sorry.
And they pushed that thing hard. Whenever we went to a trade show, they had a very big presence at certain areas. It was, wow.
And David Jones, who is one of the creators of the GTA franchise, like he runs Real Time Worlds, and like whenever he would talk at a games developer conference or whatever, he would talk really big about APB, like we're gonna break down what MMOs are, and we're gonna like he would talk about how MMOs have all failed and why like what they would do right and how they would change it. And then the game had tons of hype behind it. Got like mediocre reviews, mm-hmm. and then they're apparently broke, and they just gave up on it.
I don't know. How could they not be prepared to at least support the game for like
six months,
a good yeah. length of time, like
or at least try? I mean, like try something to try to go free to play, you know? Or
that tells me
they were
broke when the game launched. Like they weren't ready. They could not support the game unless a million people bought it. You know, like.
And then the sad part of this whole story, right, is that so they made Crackdown 1. And they basically were waiting and waiting for Microsoft to greenlight the second one. And then Microsoft took too long. And so they decided they were going to put all their resources into making APB. So then when Microsoft said, yeah, we do want a Crackdown 2, they're like, well, we're already invested in this other game, so we're not going to make Crackdown 2. So then Crackdown 2 went to Ruffian Games, which is basically an offshoot of Real Time Worlds that took like half the people from Real Time Worlds went to start Ruffian Games to make Crackdown 2, which ended up being bad.
Yeah.
And then, so, like, good people, they diluted the talent pool on both sides, right? They split the team in half, right? And so one half makes APB, which people don't care about, and then the other half made Crackdown 2, which wasn't any good. So, like, the moral of the story is Microsoft could have actually saved the company by greenlighting Crackdown 2 earlier. They would have just made Crackdown 2. It would have been awesome.
Yeah.
They never would have made APB, and the company would be going strong. So think about that. It's all Microsoft's fault.
Way to go, Microsoft.
Think about
and
it.
And maybe if they would have charged for more Xbox Live money, everything would have been okay.
No.
Here's the real takeaway from this APB story. At E3, they had really hot Suicide Girls at the APB party.
That's
where all the money went.
They're like, don't worry, guys. We're going to be making this up as soon as we launch. All this money's coming back to us.
Suicide Girls don't come cheap. Going back to this exploit
stuff. By the way, that was awesome tagline for the Suicide Girls website.
Don't come cheap.
For more on this, tune in to Seaman's Scoop.
When was the last time we had an episode of Game Scoop that didn't go up?
it's been about 150 episodes. Almost exactly. XBLA announcement. I'm very excited about Radiant Silvergun HD is coming to XBLA next spring. Radiant Silvergun is a phenomenal 2D shooter from Treasure, the guys that did Ikaruga. So that will be fantastic.
Yay!
Woo!
Have you played the Space Invaders yet, Infinity Gene?
No, I haven't, but I want to. Okay. I know Colin reviewed it, the PSN version, gave it an 8.
Yeah.
I played it on iPhone and liked it a lot. So those games are, you know, right up.
I've been playing it. Yeah, I really, really dig it.
Yeah. So that's out. That's out this week, both on PSN and Xbox Live Arcade. Definitely check it out if you're a 2D shooter fan. God, I'm so excited for Last Guardian.
Yeah?
Last Guardian looks so good. Did you guys watch the new trailer?
Yeah.
It, like, gave me chills, like, just, like, watching the dude interact with his bird dog thing. It's awesome.
They've confirmed it's a cat bird, I believe.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Anyway, holiday 2011.
Yep.
That's our release window. So.
That's a long time away.
Yes.
Well, it's a year.
Been in blackout for so long, you know what I mean? So then to come out and be like, and it's holiday 2011. Oh, you know, you were hoping for something different. And now that they're total sexists as well.
Explain, Greg.
The protagonist, they wanted to do a girl. And then they decided, well, skirt's too hard to animate, so we'll make it a boy. Now, Clements has that in his article. There's a little discussion then between him and Steimer about it, because she was in the audience as well. They don't know. Maybe humor didn't come through the translator. It's possible that was a joke, but that's how it was left by everyone involved.
That's not sexist, of course. That's just a little humorous little anecdote.
Really? Because girls can't wear pants?
No,
that's where the line.
Or
that's
shorts.
The offshoot. Yes.
Or what? They can't make a Batman game. I mean, the cape's got to be harder to animate than the skirt.
Anyway, they also.
Look, well, we wanted Batman to be in this Batman game, but he wears a cape. So
Green Lantern.
Batman: Arkham Asylum, starring the Green Lantern. They also confirmed Ico and Shadow of the Colossus HD
collections. Yeah,
collection.
Ooh.
So that'll be cool because I never actually played Ico. So.
Ico is
amazing.
Yeah.
But Shadow of the Colossus is so much better.
I mean,
one of those ones where you go, like, it's like if you've played the first one before the second one came out, you're like, oh, this is really, I love it and it's great. But I don't know, it might be hard to go back.
Really?
Shadow of the Colossus is so good. It is a lot better than Ico. So.
Even that would be great to play again. I haven't played it since it first came out. So
much less. Alex, do you like Ico and Shadow of
I actually haven't played either one.
Now you'll be able to get the
HD. Now I'll be able to get. That's why I'm really
excited
trophies
for it.
Yeah. But
not everybody cares about trophies.
Alex
Greg.
Does.
I don't, actually.
Nice. Well
Sorry.
Done, Alex.
Another reason you will never be on GameCube or back to IGN.
Hillary and Greg, does Alex's hair look different today? I feel like he's like styled it a little bit more.
He wanted to leave a good last impression on everybody.
I like it, though.
Thank you.
Yeah, I do.
You're ready. Thank you. You look like you're ready to go out.
Yeah, you look like you finally cared.
Thanks.
The first day.
Means a lot.
All these months, you could have been putting in more effort and wait till the end.
A year or two ago, Electronic Arts announced it had partnered with Suda51 and Shinji Mikami to make some sort of new game. Suda51, of course, of No More Heroes and Killer 7 fame. Shinji Mikami of Resident Evil fame. They're getting together to make a game for EA. And they announced this week, this game is called Shadow of the Damned. I can't figure out if it's Shadow or Shadows.
Well,
is it?
Why? Well,
do we have it twice?
Object is Shadows. The new story says Shadow of the Damned.
Who wrote the new story?
Anoop.
Okay. I'm going with the object, Shadows of the Damned.
Anyway, this is a game where you play as a professional demon killer.
Maybe it's two different games.
Maybe these are two different games. You are sent into the world of demons to kill its residents.
Oh, cool.
You want to do that?
It sounds kind of mean.
After
it
sounds kind of what?
They're not screwing with anybody. They're in their own world.
But
they're sitting there drinking coffee. Demons feed me.
This has this like image of John Travolta and Sam Jackson like going door to door, like knocking on the door, having long conversations, and then shooting everybody in the room.
See, you kill demons. You know what? Actually, I'm not very excited about that game.
Why?
Because I am a huge Suda51 fan, and that does not look like a Suda51 game.
It doesn't?
No, it seems a little like... I think a big part of it's the art style isn't cel-shaded like he did for No More Heroes and Killer 7, but I don't know. Was there a trailer up on that?
There is a trailer for
that. Yeah, I saw the trailer, and I just...
Wait, you asked, is there a trailer up on that? And then you said, I've seen the trailer.
Because I wasn't sure if I saw the trailer on it. But I remember now. No, because I remember seeing the trailer and being disappointed. And I couldn't remember if it was for that or something else.
Now I understand. You've come to work drunk.
Ninja Gaiden 3.
Yeah.
Yes. I know. You're the Ninja Gaiden fan here.
Well, no. This will be. I mean,
Clayman's gone.
This will be the curious one, right? Where it's like if
this is the curious.
Well, no, because Itagaki's
is that the subtitle? Ninja Gaiden 3, the curious one.
The curious one. Well, Itagaki is no longer with Team Ninja, and so I think there's always the question of like he was the front man, but you don't know how much influence he had or how different. Like it could be like even better. Like I didn't like Ninja. Clayman loved Ninja Gaiden 2. I didn't like it nearly as much as I liked the first.
Itagaki has himself said it's a flawed game.
Well, he said that all the time. He's hilarious. Well, my favorite thing ever was when they were doing Ninja Gaiden 2, he was at a Microsoft thing. This is like a week before he announced, too, that he was leaving Team Ninja. And we were like, it was like a group of people all interviewing him on like a couch. All of us on one couch with Itagaki. It was beautiful. And somebody asked him about what he thought of the, you know, that they had the PS3 remake of Ninja Gaiden 1, and it had like the extra stuff. And I don't remember what the studio name was that made that,
but somebody
asked him about Sigma, and he was like, basically, he just said, "What a piece of crap game!" It's like way to take everything great that I made and just ruin it with garbage. He's like, they just destroyed everything I loved. And it was like he just like laid into it. It was hilarious. And then clearly he didn't care because he was talking about Ninja Gaiden 2 and he was like, oh, he's like, yeah, the game's got a lot of problems, blah, blah, blah. And then like the next week he was like, well, I'm out.
See ya.
No, but I'm looking forward to it. If it's anything like the first two games, then it should be bloody and fun and I actually think that Itagaki maybe that was a problem there. And that perhaps like free of an influence that Ninja Gaiden 3 could be something really special. Hmm. Yeah, I said it.
There you go.
I'm expecting Ninja Gaiden 3 to be better than the first two.
What?
Wow.
I keep getting more and more excited about Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Yes. So everything... Simple mode?
Yeah. I want to play that game, but I'm not a big fighting game player, so I suck at them, you know? So I can turn on simple mode, and
I don't actually know about simple mode.
Marvel vs. Capcom 3, it's actually called simple mode. It's designed for players who are new to fighting games. Works by automating some of the button inputs, so it allows players to pull off special moves, including hyper combos, but with just a single button press. So sure, they're dumbing down the game, but that's good for somebody like me. So you mash buttons, and you can pull off something incredible and flashy, and it'll be amazing. I'll totally play that. Be great.
All right.
Okay. I agree.
Good to know.
I find Marvel vs. Capcom, like, part of the great design of that is that you can sort of just mash buttons and do cool stuff.
Yeah.
Without having, like, as long as you're not playing against somebody who knows how to play the game, you can totally do fine in that game anyway.
Yeah.
But it's cool that they added that mode. I think the game looks super awesome, and I think the moves that I've seen and played with, like, are so cool. I'm very excited. I love Marvel vs. Capcom 2 a lot, so... Yeah. I can't wait until this one comes out. It's one of those many, 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 many games coming out in the first quarter next year.
Yeah, that's true. Coming out early next year in Japan will be Disgaea 4. I'm a big Disgaea fan. I think I've turned Alex on to it. I think I just turned Alex on in general.
Alex gave a thumb up to both of those systems.
Yes. We don't really know much about it. This one takes place, it deals with politics, whereas Disgaea 3 took place in a classroom. Disgaea is my favorite turn-based strategy series. It's really, really deep, hardcore games.
Clearly, you've never played Civilization.
Well, I have. Yeah, you're right. I have not played much Civilization. But
you heard about how the CEO of NIS came in, though, right?
Yeah, wearing a Prini costume.
That's so
awesome.
He
came on stage wearing a Prini
costume.
That is
so cool.
And the Prini introduced the president of the company and then took off. The hood of the costume. He's like, it's me!
Wow.
That's crazy. And then basically he said, the fate of the company, of the developer, NIS, rides on Disgaea 4. So.
Wow, jeez.
Please,
no pressure. Oh, my goodness.
I know, right? Well, they put out these like really weird, quirky, niche Japanese games. And, you know, they just... How much do you think Holy Batman, what did I do to deserve this, my lord, part 2 sold?
There you go, yeah. It was,
games like that aren't going to sell.
I love the sequels. Yeah, they couldn't use Batman anymore. So they had to rename it so no one knew what it was. NIS, they're crazy. They do what they want.
Greg, the PSP 2 is real, we're told.
Yeah. Seems like a lot of rumors about it right now. A lot of people saying they have dev kits.
A developer at NetherRealm Studios claims that they have a PSP 2. These are the guys that are doing Mortal Kombat, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And that so they claim they have a PSP 2 already, looking at making a port of Mortal Kombat for PSP 2.
Very interesting.
By the way, Greg,
yeah.
If you owned a DeLorean,
yeah.
You could go to the future when the PSP 2 is out, get the PSP2, then come back to our time and basically become rich by showing off the PSP2.
Well, technically, I'd have to have a time machine. A DeLorean itself wouldn't help me there.
No. They only made like 8 DeLoreans because they're all time machines.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, no, I've thought about that before. Whenever I'm really jazzed up for a game, it's like, man, I wish I could just go into the future and like buy it, you know. Buy it.
I know how to make a flux capacitor. It's just like some yellow tubing shaped like a Y.
Oh, okay. We can do that then.
The interesting thing I found about that article was that the developer said they do not have a 3DS in-house. But
yeah,
they do
have a PSP2, which is strange, right? Because we know the 3DS is real.
Yeah. So
it makes you wonder when is PSP2.
Yeah, it would suggest that the PSP2 is coming sooner.
Hmm.
Well, I don't know. I would expect to see it at E3, I guess, right? I mean, unless they do something.
I thought it was possible they might announce it here at TGS.
Yeah,
but,
I thought so too.
That too.
Then I saw how boring the conference was, and I knew that was not going to happen.
I'm going to say GDC.
Do you? We were trying to talk about this the other day.
Well, I'm going to say with Sony's history, it will be leaked 2 weeks before GDC, and then it'll be shown.
A core episode will go up. Showing it off, and then they'll talk.
If you think about it, like if you're not, maybe you're not going to demo the games. You just demo what it looks like in the tech, and sort of announce that you're going to make it. And then E3, everybody kind of is expecting it, and then you just sort of show off. Here's all these games for PSP2, right?
Yeah.
Do you think PSP2 is going to be a success? I mean,
no.
Is there really? I mean, how many versions of PSP now
exactly.
have you had? Right?
I mean, there's,
four.
None of them are a success.
An uphill climb. Like you know, what I mean, people have been prophesizing PSP2 for so long. And I've always said, well, they need to do it when they're on an upswing. You know, hey, here's all these great PSP games we've released so people have a positive impression of the device. And that's so not going to happen anytime soon. They missed the boat. Like, when they did that initial Destination PlayStation 2 years ago, they're like, Little Big Planet, MotorStorm, all these big franchises, that when those games came out, that would have been the time saying, now PSP2, rather than, and the PSP Go, oh, nobody likes the PSP Go. Crap. And there's only, like, you know, there's 4 really great games this year and not that much else outside of it. You know what I mean? Like, they're in a very unenviable spot, and they're going to come out. And if they're talking about porting Mortal Kombat over, it makes me start to wonder how powerful this device is going to be. And then I start to wonder how much is it going to cost.
More powerful than you could possibly imagine.
If they bring this thing out and it's another overpriced device, you know, it's not. And the people are going to go, well, you didn't support the last PSP. Why should I believe you're going to do this one? You know what I mean? Like. It's a giant uphill climb on this one. I don't know how they're going to get out of it.
That's really depressing, Greg.
I mean, you know, everybody knows I like my PSP and I enjoy playing it, but
what if it's,
they've made a lot of bad choices with that device.
What if it's a phone that you hold like a taco?
No, that will not go well either. As we know, Per Schneider is the only man who ever bought an N-Gage.
I don't understand why they even would release one. That's what the whole PSP2 thing confuses me.
They do have, I mean, there is a PSP fan base, but yeah, I don't know how much money they're making off it.
Yeah.
And maybe the Marcus commercials are doing better than we think.
But, the R&D alone to create a PSP2 would be millions.
Yeah. But, I mean, you figure that starts so early. I mean, what point do you go, well, no, wait, this last one isn't doing so hot, you know, pull the plug or just continue on?
Hillary.
If they launch, I'm sorry, one more and then we can jump ship. I've been predicting... since they've been bringing all their franchises over, if they showed off with an Uncharted, you know what I mean, that would be the thing.
I don't want that, though. Part of Uncharted, what's so great about it is the graphics.
Cinematic experience.
Yeah,
if they show it and it looks really good? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Look really good.
I know.
Well,
I know.
I don't know. Did you see Project Sword for iPhone? I mean, if you can make an iPhone game that looks that good, why can't you have a new PSP handheld system that looks as good? Like I mean, look, if you can take an already existing iPhone 4 and you can run like Unreal Engine 3 on it and have a game look as good as a console game on iPhone or iPad, then there's no reason why Sony couldn't develop a system that would have amazing graphics.
Without getting into too many specifics, the iPhone 4, the CPU clocks in at 1 gigahertz. I'm sorry. Well, I'm sorry. The price of an iPhone without...
Nerd.
All right. Never mind.
No, go ahead.
The price of an iPhone without subsidizing from AT&T is like $500-something, right? Mm-hmm. So if the PSP 2 has a 1 gigahertz processor, it has the same specs as an iPhone, it's going to cost Sony $500 to make.
But what if it is a phone?
Well, that's... that's a huge problem
in
itself.
But what if they partner with Sprint or some other competitor that sees how well AT&T managed to pull things off with having an iPhone deal, and they do have it subsidized through a phone plan?
In my mind, the only way that could work is if they said it was... If they said it was like Android, and then they were selling all their
I don't know. I mean, like Microsoft's like mobile thing is right going Windows 7.
Right.
Actually being available on, you know, multiple phone systems. So,
right.
Like... you know, I don't know. I feel like if the PSP Go is just like another $300 handheld system that just does some games and stuff, then it is going to be a massive failure.
Right. It can't just do games. It can't just do games.
Epic. Drop it in the semen bucket. Move on.
It has to. I would say it has to do everything.
That would make it even harder to swallow. The PSP in there.
Spot on, spot on.
Hill, we've been putting up all these top 25 lists on IGN lately.
God, yeah.
I think this week we've got our top 25 Xbox Live Arcade games went up.
Yep.
Recently we did top 25 PS3 games and top 25 Xbox 360 games. Noticeably absent from the top 25 Xbox 360 games was Earth Defense Force.
Really?
That's because it's actually number zero. So, number one, there's a hidden page where you can find number zero, and that's Earth Defense Force.
Earth Defense Force is a good example. It's like a so bad it's good game, right? It's like came out in 2007.
It's a rogue warrior.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was not a great game, but people had a blast playing it. Like, it was kind of a low budget game. Really buggy, buggy literally, actually, because
it came out at the right time too. Because I remember when it came out, there weren't a lot of games coming out at the time, and I think that was actually sort of the peak of people doing whatever they could for achievements. Mm. I think actually the achievement whoring has actually sort of like gone down a little bit on 360 because there's just so many games to play now. I think people are less like needing to like kind of like go after achievements to extend an experience because they have a lot of options. But when Earth Defense Force came out, like a lot of people played through each difficulty level to get the achievements, and there really was nothing else out at the time. So
yeah.
I think it was like a perfect storm to sell like 12 copies or whatever it sold.
Well, a lot of people, you know, had a lot of fun with that game.
Yeah, yeah.
Consider it one of their unlikely favorite Xbox 360 games. And a sequel is coming next year. We just found out today. And this one's coming to both 360 and PS3, Greg.
Oh, yeah.
Watered down.
Earth Defense Force.
The frame rate will be even less.
Earth Defense Force Insect Armageddon is what this one is called. The first game you could play cooperatively with two people. Now you can play with three people.
Oh, my God. Technology.
Three people online. And there'll also be a survival mode for six players. And this is being developed by Vicious Cycle, the studio behind...
It's familiar, I don't...
Mad Hazard.
Which one?
Both of them.
Okay.
They made both. One was good. The downloadable 2D one was good. We have an awesome...
Here's a question. Okay. Are they including a frame rate this time?
Frame rate is still unconfirmed.
Okay.
At this point.
Maybe they should have a collector's edition with a more solid frame rate. For an extra $10, the game runs better.
We have an awesome PlayStation Network code to give away this week. This one comes by way of listener Michael Ackridge, and he has a code to rent Last Action Hero on PSN.
Remember this movie?
Yeah, Schwarzenegger.
So if you want to rent Last Action Hero...
All I remember was that there was a dead body that had a bunch of gas and it was going to explode, and that he had to run away with the kid.
That's the only thing you remember about
Danny
that movie?
And DeVito was a cartoon cat.
Yeah. And C-1000 walked by him.
And that Sylvester Stallone was like the president or something like that of America.
Sylvester Stallone is in it?
I remember they went to like a Blockbuster or something like a Blockbuster, and there was Sylvester Stallone like in like the Terminator 2 poster instead of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's weird, because there's also a Sylvester Stallone gag in Twins.
Yeah.
Right, where he sees the movie poster for Rambo or something, and he like compares biceps and then like laughs off Sylvester. Yeah. Anyway, if you want to rent Last Action Hero on PSN, grab this code, listeners. Here we go. Q922-9DB9J5C2. Please do enjoy Last Action Hero. Send good vibes to Michael Ackridge.
I was a big Terminator fan growing up with my friends and whatnot. And I remember when Last Action Hero came out, I bought a Last Action Hero figure.
An action figure?
Yeah, yeah.
So a Last Action Hero action figure.
There you go.
Figure.
And it was just Arnold Schwarzenegger because, it's just all he was in that thing. And then I used him as the Terminator. Before he got his like skin shot off, because the Terminator figures you figure are always like peeled away exoskeleton.
I think that movie actually gets more flack than it deserves. I'm not saying it's a great movie, but people act like it was like one of the worst movies ever, and it's not.
Yeah, I should watch that again too.
Redeem that code real quick.
Alex, any updates on your lady situation?
Lady,
things are not going great.
What?
It's too bad.
What happened?
Sorry to hear that. If you don't want to talk about it, that's all right.
It's just
We can talk about it tonight.
Yeah, let's talk about it tonight, because okay. I'm afraid she might listen.
Does she listen to the podcast?
Is this the one
she
that I
listens.
Called?
She listens. No.
Forever ago? Okay.
No. That's...
I'm going to tell you what. If she's still listening after us talking about for 10 minutes, that's a keeper.
Yeah, I know. It's true. All right, let's check in with the listeners. This is David Dominguez Gadsden. Says he wants to know, so when a developer or publisher places you guys under embargo, does that mean you cannot talk to your fellow editors at IGN about the embargoed whatever? For example, Craig Harris is embargoed about a vehicle in Kirby's Epic Yarn. Is he just not allowed to talk or write about it in podcasts or articles, or is that also extended to what he tells his coworkers? Or does he represent IGN as a company where IGN is embargoed, not only Craig?
I just imagine, like, snipers on the roof with, like, red dots on him, like, listening in, like, if he says it, pull the trigger.
No, it just means we can't share the stuff, you know, with the public, but we talk about it.
Yeah, internally. It's embargoed as IGN as a company.
Yeah, we talk about it internally all the time.
It's awesome that he's embargoed on a Kirby Epic Yarn vehicle. It better be an awesome vehicle. When this reveal happens, it better be amazing.
Dude, it's going to blow your pants off.
Oh, if it's the Pope Mobile.
The Pope Mobile in Kirby's Epic Yarn, confirmed. Yeah.
I'm sorry,
we've broken the embargo.
What would be like a good vehicle for somebody to embargo for Kirby's Epic Yarn? For me, the Pope Mobile is pretty much the only thing you
Batmobile.
Can ever embargo.
DeLorean.
Tank.
Oh, a DeLorean that goes back in time.
You already said Batmobile?
Yeah. Ecto-1.
No.
We're probably too literal. This is probably some tank made of burlap that shoots out little balls.
Yeah.
Don't tell anybody about this.
It's a morpho.
All right, this is Hal. He says, while I think it's overboard for a listener to claim that you guys are his actual friends, after many hours spent listening to you, it does seem as if we know you. After all, just sitting around and talking is a good portion of what most people do with their friends, and it's why you feel like you know someone's personality. On the other hand, I would never say that I felt I knew Howard Stern or Conan O'Brien, despite the hours I've spent listening to them talk.
Hal, you go to hell.
What's the matter?
We're more serious than Conan O'Brien, when he's interviewing some jerk off about
it. Why do you say go to hell? He's saying he knows us better than them.
Oh, I thought you were saying... Okay, forget it. I'm sorry.
He said he wouldn't ever say that he knows Howard Stern or Conan O'Brien.
Okay, I'm sorry.
See, now that they know that Jeez. You are actually a giant
Everyone knows I get fired up easy. I'm sorry. I've had a couple cups of coffee.
Hal is
the right.
opening up to us, and you shoot him down like
I said, I'm sorry, Hal. What else do you want? Go to hell, Hal. Leave me alone.
Can Hal continue?
Yes, please.
He says, their shows don't seem as intimate or genuine as an IGN podcast, because their job is to entertain. But wait a minute, isn't that your job too? So my question is, do you feel like the personalities you project on the podcasts is true to life? Is all that Greg Miller shtick how he acts all the time, or is it just for show? Is Hillary really that caustic and funny, or just when he's on? Is Damon really that big a poonhound? I really regret you saying that, by the way. I totally resent that. Not the biggest favor you've ever done me, Hillary. As a follow-up,
no offense, but you edit the podcast.
I know. Greg would give me flack if I edited that out. Actually, he would never know.
I would never know.
Plus, it wouldn't change the truth.
It's not true. I'm not a poonhound. I don't know where that comes from.
I've yet to hear a single person in this office hear you called a poonhound and go, not Damon Hatfield. Most people seem to go, yeah. I went by Roy Bahad, our president. I was like, hey, Damon, poonhound, right? And he was like, oh, big time.
He's like, and I got this bucket for you.
I'm not funny in real life. I'm just caustic.
Okay. Greg Miller is, he's like this all the time. I mean, he has his ups and downs.
When
he's not like...
When we're hanging out at a bar or we're hanging out at dinner and we're, I'm like this. But I mean, at work, we have to focus more.
But then you'll be loud and crazy sometimes too at work, you know?
I've always said that when we're doing these podcasts, I'm the most me. This is like the time when you have to check all your other baggage at the door and focus on having fun and talking to Damon. Making sure he doesn't get all upset.
Yeah, I mean,
somebody call me a poonhound.
The podcasts are like a reflection of sort of. I think most likely like what we're like when we go to lunch, right?
Yeah.
Or, totally. Or when we're hanging out after work and stuff like that. So, it's like this is the stuff. This is the kind of like the conversations like the bucket conversation. These are all things that weird things we discuss outside of work that sometimes come into the podcast, but this is usually how we are. We usually read reader mail, like, when we're out for beers.
We're missing the most obvious thing here, too. Alex, are we – you were listening for a long time before you came here. Is this what you expected? Are we normal?
Exactly, yeah. No, pretty much – I mean –
Did you?
I'd say tone down versions.
Did you always think I was a poonhound?
I never thought that.
Thank
you.
He's just saying that because he doesn't want to piss you off.
Because he wants you to buy him beer tonight.
He won't insult your go cycle either. He'll be chill.
That was very disappointing to hear you guys. Did not like my go cycle. This is from a Japanese listener, Eugene Tsuruta. He says, in recent episodes of GameScoop, you've been debating about bringing beverages and food in the bathroom. This is...
This is important stuff. Yeah.
I have yesterday somebody brought another worker who's not in editorial at all came in and we said, hey, in the bathroom, he put down a Coke Zero.
In the bathroom?
In the little
table.
Disgusting.
Yeah, that's totally disgusting.
Is that on top of the urinal?
No. It was on our bathroom. You know how when you come around the wall, there's that mirror and then there's a little corner table?
Yeah,
you put it there.
Yeah.
And then he walked around another wall.
This is a true story. I don't pee in urinals. I pee on ceilings.
Yeah.
And so basically when you go into our bathroom in our office... There is urine sort of constantly laying down. Yeah. So there is definitely urine going into it.
I took an umbrella into the bathroom here.
I thought that was just a soothing spa effect.
That is... I'm sorry. I find this entire idea disgusting. Bringing a drink in...
Bringing a drink into the bathroom, disgusting.
Yes.
Drinking a bucket of semen, that's okay.
For a billion dollars. Oh, I'll bring a drink into the bathroom for $1 billion.
I'm just saying, all the time we were talking about that, you never acknowledged that it was disgusting.
It is disgusting.
Yes, it's disgusting.
But it's a disgusting amount of money as well.
It's disgusting for $1 billion.
I actually disagree. I think depending on the situation, bringing a drink into the bathroom is okay. For example, all right, let's say I'm at a party at somebody's house and I have like a red cup full of a beverage. What am I supposed to do with that if I have to go to the bathroom?
We've already talked about this. Just finish it and then go to the bathroom.
But what if you have to go really bad?
Out of nowhere?
We should just go to the question. This is the Vietnam of GameScoop arguments. There's never a winner. It goes on forever. Everyone's willing to fight for no reason.
We've already talked about this. But Eugene's question is, he says, I agree with Damon. It's a gross idea. But the argument brought forth a question to my mind. To my humble knowledge, many residences in the States have a combination of a toilet and bathtub in the same room. This is true.
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel weird to clean up and, do your other business in the same area? In Japan, most houses have a separate toilet and bathroom.
Wait, first of all, we're talking about, I think, two different issues. The issue that we've always talked about is bringing a drink into a bathroom. Like, if you're at a bar and you have to go to the bathroom, you bring the drink in with you. I'm not talking about, like, if I'm in my house alone, like, I don't bring drinks in there either, but I'm still, it's like, my bathroom is different than a public bathroom or somebody else's bathroom.
Would you eat a sandwich in that bathroom?
No, I don't eat.
Ryan Geddes would.
Yeah.
I don't eat that's food gross. Or drink in my bathroom, right. But, you know, that's not the same. It's not like I go to a public urinal and there's a bathtub next to it and I'm like, oh, I'm going to go take a bath now. You guys pee in the urinal trough.
So is it gross if someone was drinking a beer in the bath? If you're taking a hot bath and you're drinking a beer, is that disgusting?
I wouldn't say it's disgusting, but you're still in the bathroom.
I still say it's a different issue.
Greg Miller, fun fact, I think baths in general are gross. They gross me out. I can't.
Because you sit in your dirty water?
I don't like touching the tub.
I think it's because you don't clean your bathtub.
I'll have you know, actually, Hillary Goldstein teased me. Said he was going to come stay with me this week, and I cleaned the hell out of that house the night before.
Did you really? Oh. I feel like, well, it's my wife's fault.
Yeah, sure.
She told me, like, we cannot stay in our home, and then I was like, okay, well, I'm going to stay with Greg, and she's like, we can just stay in our home.
Don't go there.
Sorry.
Anyway, Greg,
I didn't mean to lead you
on. No, it's fine. Now the house looks really good, though. So Steinberg's going to come home and be like, oh, you cleaned for me. I'm like, yeah, I would have
destroyed your house.
And then you would have destroyed Greg.
Yes.
Eugene's point is that in other parts of the world, they don't always have the toilet and the bathtub right next to each other. So he wants to know if we think that's weird. Of course, we don't think it's weird because that's what we've always had. But I don't know.
Now, if the toilet was in the bathtub, that would be weird.
That would be strange. That begs another question, though.
Okay,
have you ever peed in the shower?
Of course. Who hasn't?
I have not.
Really?
I have not.
I've never peed in a shower.
Nor have I.
I think that's filthy. I've taken a poop in the shower. No, I'm just kidding. I peed in the pool one time.
And then feel guilty about it.
No, and then I felt gross because I was like, people were like, oh, no, just take a pee. So then I peed in the pool. And then when I got out, like, I noticed that, like, even though I was in a pool, I peed through my swim trunks. And then I was just like, I feel gross.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've never done anything like that. And I was like, I was 10 then. I think that probably scarred me for life. That's why I swim naked now, so when I pee.
This is Graham Reed.
Graham!
Says, hey, guys, Scoop!
Scoop!
I have proper hardcore stuck in my head. Yeah. Which episode or podcast did this come from?
I'm going to say that cause this is even before Greg Miller's time. Hardcore is like ancient.
Are you kidding me?
That's from
the Donkey Punch trailer. Geddes and Damon started it. Don't tell me.
It's a Damon, Greg, Geddes
trailer. Proper hardcore is before there was a Game Scoop, I'm sorry to say.
Well, yeah, I'm sure most words and phrases are from before that, but what brought it into popularity was the Donkey Punch trailer.
We didn't come up with the phrase, but we started saying it on Game Scoop because it's from the Donkey Punch trailer. He explains what it is. Proper hardcore. Never seen that movie. Just love the trailer.
Yeah. Should get around to doing that one day. Also, I've been told we have to see Piranha 3D.
I can't see it. I cannot.
You can see it. We can see it in 2D.
Why can't you say it?
You can't see 3D.
I can't see 3D.
Oh, that's fine. We can see it in 2D. I don't like 3D. But it has boobs in it.
I know. I do want
to see the boobs.
There's like a 2-minute underwater nude scene between two lesbians.
Yes. Yes, please. This is Jeff Matthews. He says, I would like to share a story about how listening to GameScoop has granted me an interesting situation. He's been granted an interesting situation.
The GameScoop genie came through his computer.
Like he opens up a bottle and a genie comes out and is like, you are a GameScoop listener. I shall grant you this one situation.
Listening to last week's episode, I couldn't help but notice that Mike Lemon, the dude who took the PS3 code and didn't even own one, is also the name of a kid in my class at school in Maryland. Although we had never talked before this happened. When I heard his name, I briefly wondered, could it be possible that this is the same kid? But I shook the idea off, figured it was just a coincidence. However, when Damon mentioned that he spared Mike from being unfriended on Facebook, I got the bright idea to check his friends list, see if it matched the Mike that I know. I found his profile, determined it was the same kid. I messaged him about it the next day, and we talked for a bit. He said you guys were cool now. We are. Just thought I'd share this with you guys. I have no clue how many listeners there are, but I'm pretty confident that the odds that two GameScoop listeners are in the same class are pretty low. You'd be surprised, Jeff. We just heard last week about... were you on when the guy's fraternity, he was trying to decide what fraternity to rush with? You must not have been here.
No, I think that was that episode.
It was awesome. He like, trying to pick a fraternity, and he was at a frat party, went up to the bar at the party. The bartender, whatever, like, whoever was working the bar, asked him what he wanted, and it just on a lark, he, like, said, I'll have a Floridora, and the bartender was like, Scoop.
That's totally pretty good.
Yeah.
By the way, is anybody else, whenever you hear Mike Lemon's name, I hear the U2 song Lemon?
The YouTube song?
The YouTube song.
Oh, the YouTube song.
Oh, YouTube.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I always do.
It's a pretty good song, actually. I haven't heard that in a while.
I hate that song, actually, but really? I hear it in my head.
No, sorry. This is Ben Bellevue. How and when did you guys learn about IGN? What made you decide to work at IGN over other companies?
I was granted this opportunity.
A genie gave you this situation?
I've known about IGN since back in the N64, when it was N64.com, and I was looking up how to find all the stars in Mario 64. And I've been reading the site since then.
Yeah.
Why would I decide to work at IGN over other companies? Is because IGN is hands down the best gaming site. No question.
Booyah! Well done. I think I've known IGN since I used to read PSM Online. So it was like the online version of the PlayStation magazine for PlayStation 1. And then it just became IGN. So then I was reading IGN. And I don't know. I never read any other gaming sites. So I honestly, until I started working here, I didn't even know there were other games. I mean, I didn't know about any of them. So it wasn't like...
You've been here a while. So, I mean, magazines are still pretty dominant.
Yeah. I mean, I knew the magazines and stuff like that. But, like, you know, I mean, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Where else would I go? Why not here?
And why did you want to get an internship at IGN, Alex, over other companies?
Well, actually, it was because of the podcast.
Really?
Because I heard the podcast on IGN and... I listened to some other podcasts, and you guys seem to have the most fun, seem to be the people that I would want to spend my time with.
Aww. You're so wrong.
We are the most fun.
Greg Miller had...
I wish I had an IGN story. It seems like I've just always been reading, so I don't really have like that. I came here for something and something hooked me. It was just that I always went there. I used to check everything, you know what I mean? So
I personally think you have the best coming to IGN story, though, of anybody ever.
Well, physically getting here,
I think, is easily the best physically getting
here. The Blizzard story when I almost died in Nebraska.
Have you told this on GameScoop before?
I have to imagine, right?
Well, yes. remind listeners.
You have, but...
So you want an abridged version?
Yeah, remind.
So I was going to...
You're living in Columbia, Missouri.
Home of the Tigers.
M-I-Z.
Yeah, so I'm in Columbia, Missouri. I went there for journalism. I wanted to do work in the video game industry forever. I finally got the chance. I got interviewed and hired. First contact to hired was less than 24 hours. And then I was going to be out here in 2 weeks. So I quit my job.
By the way, and I think I've said this before, but my recommendation was not to hire you.
Right. Yeah, why? What did you tell Dunham? Why not to hire me?
I said, we already have a fat, funny guy in me.
Exactly. Yeah, that was great. That was a great. I love that story. Yeah, so I packed up everything, and it was just a disaster. I went the night before, I went and got a U-Haul, and I brought it home, and it had a little toe dolly on it or whatever. And so I packed all my stuff into this U-Haul, and I was just coming out here and leaving a whole bunch of stuff behind. And so I was going to live on Michael's floor. I was bringing out just a mattress and some clothes, a TV, all my systems. And then I was going to drag this Mustang behind me so that I would have it. And I could either go north or I could go south. And south, it looked like they were having thunderstorms and tornadoes. North, there was always a chance of snow, but I thought I could get through it, no problem. So that morning, I wake up, and I'm sitting there reading the pamphlet on the U-Haul, and it says, oh, by the way, if you have a front-wheel drive car, this will ruin it if you put it in the little stirrups or whatever to drag it behind you. And I had a front-wheel drive car. So I freak out. They made me drive half an hour in the wrong direction to go get a new one. I got that, and then I drove home, loaded the car, got in the
version.
Got in the car, got going. All I listened to on the way there were GameScoops and AFKs, because that was the shows we had at the time. That's all I listened to nonstop on the way here.
AFK.
And so got up into Nebraska, and I decided I'd break there for the night because I was behind schedule. I woke up in the morning real bright and early, ready to go, and I come down, and it's like dark out, and it's all gray, and like there's a bunch of weather warnings. There's a blizzard coming through, blah, blah, blah. And I'm looking, and the highway I'm on is leading into the storm, but not the center of it. Just the very tip of this storm is going to pass over the highway, and what I'm looking at on the Doppler radar there, you know, it's not that much. I can drive through that, and then I'll be clear on the other side. So I'm like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to punch through this. I'm going to teach it a lesson. So I'm going, driving in this giant car, that giant truck that I have no idea how to do. I've got a stupid-ass Mustang behind me. I'm listening to Game Scoops nonstop, having a gay old time, just talking to myself and enjoying video games. Go, storm hits. It's horrible. Like it's like whiteout conditions. I'm in the tip of this damn thing, too. Whiteout conditions. I pass this hotel. I go 3-5 more miles down the road. I'm like, what's going on? I turn off Game Scoop to the radio. Like, get off the road! Like, no one else is on the road. I'm like, ah, crap. So I pull off at a Dairy Queen. They're like, yeah, you will not be able to pass to the next big Nebraska city. You got to turn around and go back. I'm like, all right. Go over this ramp. Come down to do it. Black ice. I slide past the ramp. Oh, that's my way back to the hotel. I'm like, well, no big deal. I'll continue down this road, find a parking lot, pull it, because you can't reverse in this thing with the car behind me. I'm like, I'll find a parking lot, swing around, get back on the regular. So I'm going and I'm going and I'm driving down this road, and it's rural Nebraska, Butler, Nebraska, if anybody knows where that is. Driving down these roads, there's nothing. It's all farm fields. There's like one house every 2-3 miles. And I'm going and going and going. I'm looking for like a church parking lot, anything. There's nothing. And I'm like, well, it's getting worse. I'm starting to do the tip sideways, you know, from the wind. This is the abridged version.
Jesus.
Too. I'm sorry. I see a thing. I'm like, it's a circular.
This is longer than any version of the story you've ever told, by the way.
It's a good story, though, right? All right. Is everybody having fun so far?
Yeah, keep going.
I'm going to finish it, I swear.
Okay. Right.
Circular driveway. I'm like, I'll pull in there. This is my last shot. Either that or I get out of this thing and walk back 6 miles to the damn Dairy Queen. Pull it as soon as I get halfway through the turn, and it turned out it wasn't a driveway. It was just a yard that had been like worn down. I'm in mud. I'm stuck. It's a blizzard. It's a trailer. I'm in front of a trailer in the middle of Nebraska. Nothing else there. I get out sheepishly, knock on the door. This withered old man comes to the door. He's like, "Oh, I'll tow you out in my tractor." And the tractor's like the size of like a lawnmower. I'm like, "That's not gonna get this thing." And he's like, "Oh no, I'm gonna do it." And he does it. The tractor dies. I'm like, "Oh." So I go into his house. He's a call. They can't come get me for another 8 hours. So in the middle of this snowstorm, this man probably saves my life, or at least keeps me from horribly endangering it. And I watch on a fuzzy antenna TV college basketball with him for 8 hours. Complete stranger in his house.
What do you guys talk about?
Everything under the sun. Like, and it was so awkward. It was like – he was such a nice guy. But I mean, like, the house was like total creep show. Like, you know, like – the things that I'll always remember of it, like I'd get on the phone to talk to family or whatever, or friends, and I'd walk in his kitchen to do it. So I'd get some privacy or whatever. And he had a griddle, you know, like where you make pancakes, but he'd been making bacon on it. And one of the legs was broken, and like it had melted the thing. So the grease would just run off and then onto the floor. And there was just a puddle of aged brown grease on the floor. Oh, the sink had all these coffee cans in it that were filled with water. He had newspapers on top of his gas stove at all times, just on there. I went back to the bathroom, and like the bathtub, I mean, everything's just filthy and grimy, and there's all these coffee cans filled with water there too. And at one point he offered me coffee, and I'm like, sure. And he's like, he goes to get the coffee cup off of the top of the TV, and he's like, oh, here. Oh, and it's like stuck, and he has to like take both hands and do like the gunk to break it off from the gunk it's stuck on. Breaks it off, and he's like, well, I gotta wash this. I'm like, oh, I can do it. I don't want to feel completely out of my element. He's like, oh, okay, sure. So I start walking towards the bathroom. He's like, oh, no, the water doesn't work there. I'm like, oh, so where? He's like, oh, I'm going to wash it in the bathroom. And he goes in there and washes. He washes it in the bathroom. And this, it was a scene, brother. It was a scene. And I had to lie to everybody because I couldn't tell him. It's like, I'd be on the phone. I was with Katie at the time, and I'd be on the phone. She's like, so everything's all right? And I'm like, oh, yeah, everything's great. She's like, well, at least you're in a nice place. I'm like, oh, no, I'm not. She's like, oh, you're not? I'm like, no. Code talk to everybody.
So
sorry, that story was so long.
But you eventually you had to turn back around, go
eventually,
back to Columbia,
yeah,
and then you flew out, ended up flying out here.
Exactly. Yeah. They sent like a big rig tow truck deal. They did like the winch and pulled me to the street. I like 10 miles an hour crawled back to that hotel, got a Pizza Hut pizza, went to bed.
That sounds good.
I mean, after that day, it was delicious. Yeah, I woke up the next morning to a call from my mom, and it was 6 a.m. Nebraska time, so Central time zone. She's in sobbing. She's like, oh, I've been watching the Weather Channel all night long.
You didn't call her the night before?
No. She was up to date on everything. Okay, she woke me up the next morning to say, please drive back to Columbia. We'll pay to fly you out if they won't, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, all right. I was like, I was done. I'm like, sure, no big deal. So I hung up with her, and then I called Dunham. And remember, we're 2 hours ahead, so it's 4 in the morning there. And I wake up Dunham. He's like, hello? And I go, wakey, sleepy. And he goes, it's 4 in the morning. I'm like, yeah, I'm not coming, sorry.
Oh, man.
So yeah, I flew out here with even less possessions and slept on Micah's floor for 9 months.
Okay, just a couple more emails here.
Sorry, I know I ate up the show.
This is from Forrest McKnight.
Now I never got – I got pulled away, so I didn't get –
You were going to tell
him that. If you could start over from the old man with the griddle that was dropping grease on the floor.
This is Johnny Lobster.
Nice name.
That's a good name. He says, I was wondering, what does IGN's marketing team do? Do they get to have as much fun as the editorial guys? I ask because marketing is something I am looking into as a career choice, and I would love to work my way up and work for IGN's marketing team.
Well, I'm going to say, first of all, anybody can have as much fun as they want if they want to have the fun, right? We don't prevent anyone at this company from having fun.
Here's something someone told me once. Everyone is in charge of their own good time.
So true.
I put you in charge of it a long time ago.
I know, man.
So true. So if you want to work on our marketing team and you want to have fun, then have fun.
But you're Alex, you're a sales intern.
Sales, yes.
I misput that into something the other day.
People were coming up to me. They're like, "So are you going to Alex's going away thing?" I was like, "That's me." And they're like, "Oh, it's some guy from marketing. It's not you."
Yeah, I obviously have nothing.
If people don't know, the difference between sales and marketing is sales is outside companies trying to basically get brand recognition on IGN by giving us money for ads.
It's basically where all our money comes from.
And marketing is basically us trying to get our brand out to other avenues.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. But I can say sales, which sits right next to marketing. Yes, we have a lot of fun.
Oh, there you go. That's why it's so confusing.
Does it look like marketing has fun?
Yeah, it does.
From your vantage point?
I mean, when you're marketing, if you care about the product, you're going to have fun. And if you like IGN, marketing for IGN should be really easy and fun. Mm. So that's what I think.
This is Forrest McKnight. Recently, I decided to make my parents some Floradoras.
Yeah!
They seem content with me, a 15-year-old, mixing alcohol, which made me wonder. So I made them the Fruity Delights, and to my surprise, they loved them. So now, if they have friends over, I am mixing Floradoras like crazy. So
that's
they want
awesome.
Me to thank you guys for exposing me to such wonderful concoctions. Oh my god, you should see how he spelled concoctions. It's hilarious.
That made me, I don't know if anybody watches Mad Men here.
Yeah,
it just made me think of like the little like 7-year-old girl like has to like learn how to mix drinks properly for.
I know.
Her dad.
I think that's great, Mike. I'm totally gonna have my kids doing that for dinner parties. That'll be great.
Wait. Is this a scoop? Damon Hatfield is going to have kids?
Congratulations.
Yeah. No, someday. This is Jay. This is the last email here. Jay says, I just wanted to let you guys know how much I appreciate what you guys do. And that your cast always makes my day. As I've just started my first year of college, I've become overwhelmed with taking classes, meeting hundreds of new people, and living away from home. It helps to have comfort items, like the podcast, to make my transition to this new way of learning and living a little bit easier. For that, I thank you. You're welcome, Jay.
You're welcome.
We certainly thank you guys.
Did you say where you go to school?
For listening to the podcast. He doesn't.
Okay. I'm going to assume busy.
But actually, if you guys do appreciate the work we do here, you have an opportunity to give back a little bit coming up, because Greg and I are participating in the charity event on October 16th.
Yeah, Extra Life.
This is Extra Life charity event. We're going to be doing a 24-hour gaming marathon. Yes. Yeah. I'm just verifying all the details with you.
You're doing good. You're doing great.
You've taken point on this. Explain to the listeners what's going down with this.
Yeah. It's run by the guys over at Sarcastic Gamer. It benefits the Children's Miracle Network. It's a walkathon, but we play video games for 24 hours. Mm-hmm. So what we need you guys to do is come and donate money to us. That'll then go to the Oakland Children's Hospital. If you go to tinyurl.com/extraign, you can get all the details. You can pick an editor to donate to. It doesn't matter who you donate to, so don't worry. But there's no competition or reward for any of us, so it all goes to the same pool. It all goes to the Oakland Children's Hospital. If you can't donate but you want to help out, you can go to that tinyurl.com/extraign and join our team as well. Then you could do it in your own neighborhood, mm-hmm. get donations, do this. If you can't do that Saturday of 24 hours, it doesn't really matter. It's an honor system, so you could get donations and then just – you're basically saying – whenever I play whatever I'm playing, I'm doing it for the Children's Miracle Network.
Cool. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. We're going to be you streaming it. We're going to have stuff going on. Yeah. There'll be plenty to do and watch, and wouldn't be surprised if we did giveaways and stuff on there. So keep an eye out.
Mark your calendars. October 16th. Are we friends on Facebook? Are you following me on Twitter? You should be. Not only can you keep up with the games I'm gaming and the music I'm making, I also like to give away free codes for games when I have them. Okay, we're going to close out this week's show with another installment of 8-Bit Radio. I have an 8-Bit hip-hop mashup remix thing I think you'll like. This comes by way of listener Bon Ma, who correctly guessed that I would enjoy it. I don't know what it's called or who it's by. The artist is listed as various artists. The title is just Track 20, but the album is called Team Canada. So if anyone can identify this track, please let us know, because this is the hotness.
Before he gets sent for, say you wanna squash it, squash it. GameScoop. Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.